I am Linda van Tilburg for BizNews, and one of the things I really like to do is talk to startup companies. And today I have the co-founder of StudyStart, a new online tool where pupils can plan the next step for education and jobs, in the studio. And he is Jason Adrian. Hi, Jason. Welcome to BizNews.
Hi, Linda. Nice to be with you.
Well, what is StudyStart?
So StudyStart is it's a business that's been on my mind for a long time. My education journey has been an interesting, unconventional one in that I studied medicine. I discovered 3 years into studying medicine that this was not the right decision or right career path for me, and ended up dropping out. I was at UCT. I remember giving that phone call to my mom, saying, "Listen, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm switching to a BSc and doing comp sci." And you can only imagine, after spending an enormous amount of money and student debt, how that went down. But everyone was super supportive of me making that decision and changing direction. I eventually got a BSc, or graduated with a BSc information systems, business management, computer science, and then I did my postgrad in management through WITS. And so from medicine to postgrad management, digital business is like worlds apart. I realized that we put a big life altering decision on the shoulders of an 18-year-old or 17-year-old. So there's a 17-year-old out there making a decision for what the future version of themselves are going to do for the rest of their lives. And it's a massive decision that they often have no support in making. Often the parents don't know what's going on. Most of us come from, particularly, I think, people of color in South Africa, We didn't grow up with parents that had degrees. We didn't have parents that went through, tertiary education and, necessarily familiar with how academia works, or how, what a bachelor's degree is, what a master's degree is, what these different fields are, So there's a lack of support for most people in terms of making that decision. And there's just no real education around education. And that's where we come in. That's why we started this business. My co-founder and I, Sean Ramkasoon. We put together a product that we believe will enable those kids and their parents to make an informed decision around where to study and what to study.
So it's a platform. So what is on this platform?
So it's technology driven. It's an application. We've got we've gone web first. We're very conscious about the landscape in South Africa. A lot of startups launch with apps. Our experience is that in South Africa, people are basically on the web. They're on mobile devices. 85% of people are just accessing the internet through their phones. That's their definition of the internet. We want to reach as many people as possible, regardless of which type of device that they have. And we built a web interface for our application. And what we do is we take we've got an interest profiler, which is the first, kind of starting point, which is just to say, okay, cool, let's ask you 60 questions. Let's try and get a baseline understanding of where your passions and interests are. Our belief is that if someone is interested and passionate about something, they're more inclined to be successful in those areas later on in life. So it starts with the interest profiler. Then based on that, we've got some algorithms and some AI magic, that then directs students to various occupations, specific occupations, give them a very deep understanding of what those occupations entail. So the day-to-day tasks involve the description, what they may be doing in terms of, out there in the real world in corporations. And then also we link it to the qualifications and what they could study in South Africa in order to achieve or pursue those occupations. So we try to link these various data sets together and try to make sense of a very complicated education space for essentially a layman or a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old.
And how far down the road are you in developing this?
So we've launched the first version of the application, which is the interest profile combined with the qualifications, the qualifications directory. So a student should be able to kind of self-help themselves through all the way from the questionnaire, getting some career recommendations, get a deep understanding of what those occupations entail, and then connect them to the various institutions in South Africa, whether it is directing them to a college, a private college or a university, or even to go and do vocational training. That is all possible within the application right now. So it's all self-help. The second phase of our rollout entails a lot more hands-on support. Obviously, the hands-on support. So, actually getting in touch with a human being that can help them with actual filling in of forms. People don't know how to, kids, you're 17, you have no idea how to fill in a university application, which tests you have to go and do, which benchmarking tests you have to go and do. So we plan on doing hands-on assistance in that area, as well as a service in addition to the self-help product that already exists, and that we plan on rolling out soon.
So what is the competition like in this landscape? Are you competing against other apps or services?
Yeah, there are a number of service providers in this area. There's a Grades Match who do a very, we've spoken to the guys at Grades Match. They're in a similar sort of space where they also assist students with applications at actually applying to university. There's Apply, Apply For Me, Uni Apply For Me, I believe, that also does similar thing where they focus on doing the applications. So we want to focus on the end-to-end journey. We don't just want to focus on the applications. We believe that the actual university application is a service that we should be rendering, and we plan on rendering. But we want to be able to take a student's hand all the way from being in matric, getting through matric, getting into university, and getting into a job. You guys often report on this. We've got a massive unemployment problem, youth unemployment problem in South Africa. And at the same time, you've got JSE listed companies talking about a skills gap that exists here as well. So you've got this weird situation where there are vacancies in big companies and an oversupply of people, but skills don't match the vacancies. And addressing that problem is going to be something that we take on as a mission of ours as well.
So can we talk about funding? So how are you funding this?
So this is not my first time launching a startup dipping into the startup world, then going into the corporate world, and then back into the startup world now. Our approach here has been to try and self-fund as much as possible. We've had a number of opportunities to obviously take equity partners or investment, but we've held off on that for the time being. I'm a software developer, so fortunately, I've been able to, build a lot of the tech myself, and with the help of, various other software developers that we have working with us, and we've been able to self-fund that, fortunately. That might change in the future, but for the time being, we've taken a very kind of simple approach, just try and get into market, as cost effectively as possible. It makes us, I think it makes us more agile in trying to navigate this space.
So next steps for you guys?
So as I mentioned earlier, our next step is to roll out the kind of hands-on application service. So helping kids actually apply to university, but also working with financial service providers and try to connect kids to financing, student loans, policies. There's a whole bunch of financial services products that I think parents need to be made aware of earlier in a child's education journey, because you don't want to get that surprise, in January of the year of your kid going to a university and realizing, oh, I've got to have 200,000 rand available for accommodation and tuition. It happened to me, and it happens to lots of kids out there going to universities. So as I mentioned earlier, obviously the hands-on application service is going to be important in terms of getting kids into universities. It is a pain point for a lot of parents and students, trying to navigate all of these forms and trying to understand the administration and benchmark testing and all of that. But it is obviously not the primary focus of what we want to do. We ultimately want to hold a student's hand all the way from getting through matric, getting into an actual university, graduating, and actually getting them into a job. As you know, you guys often report, there's this massive disparity in South Africa where you've got a massive youth unemployment rate, and at the same time, listed companies in South Africa saying, we don't have enough skills, there's massive skill shortage. So you've got enough people, it's just a mismatch of where the skills are. And, one of our goals is to try and solve that problem, hopefully. Obviously, part of this issue that needs to be solved is the financing issue. It's something that we were very well aware of, because, the year of a student going to university, you don't want parents waking up to the reality that they all of a sudden need 100, 200,000 rand to send your kid to university, a combination of tuition or an accommodation. It's a lot of money that you need all of a sudden. So we want to do some education around that as well, and also connect kids to funding opportunities and different financial packages that they may be able to utilize.
You've mentioned at the beginning this that parents of coming from some communities do not know how to steer their kids because they didn't go to university or they don't know about masters and PhD degrees. Do you find that some of these parents would automatically steer their kids towards tertiary education, towards universities, because they think that is what you should attain, whereas a lot of kids might not need more vocational courses?
Absolutely, that's a very good point. And that's why we, in our database, we've actually incorporated an enormous amount of jobs that don't require a degree. So our assessment, the 60 questions that the student asks at the beginning of the process, it doesn't at all have a bias towards building, more academics and more university students. We actually very cognizant of, it takes many types to build a world, if you will. Vocational training is so important, particularly in a country like South Africa, where we're trying to build things. You need electricians, you need plumbers, you need fitters and turners. My dad was a mason, and in his earlier days. So I always say that's a very important role. I don't know why. I think in South Africa there is this kind of tendency to look down almost on vocational training and vocational work, and kind of have this idea that everyone should sit with a white collar and a pen. And it, you know, in other countries, when you go to Australia, when you go to, you know, any of these other countries, you get vocational workers earning as much as people sitting in corporate offices. So yeah, we want to inform kids about those options as well, and not just necessarily steer them to universities.
Jason, we've spoken about starting a business. Is it difficult for a startup like yours to start a business in South Africa?
I think that a lot of people don't appreciate just quite how difficult it is to start a small business or a startup in South Africa. You know, first of all, from a tax perspective, like small businesses, you're trying to get off the ground. You're literally just trying to get things going. Now, there's a lot of programs and things in place that try and assist on this front, but to tax a little guy that's really like trying to get off the ground in that first year or two, it feels a little bit cruel. I've got a lot of friends that have started, and family members that have started small business, and often get thrown these enormous tax bills, and it crushes them. So it's something that is an existential issue for small business, is those early formative years where you're basically looking down the barrel at this enormous, you know, bull that's coming at you. So that on the one front, that's a massive issue if you're a small business. The other side of being a small business, particularly if you're in the B2B space, if you're going to other businesses to render your services, I don't know if you've dealt with any of the JSE listed companies, but it's an incredibly painful exercise to try and get the procurement process sliced down to a period of time that doesn't put your entire business at risk, right? So, you know, we've had tons of conversations with big organizations, and we find it's so slow moving. It is so painful. You're literally sitting there 3 months, 6 months go by, and no one's signing anything. You've had 10 meetings, and you're just sitting there. And I'm like, I'm a small guy. I've got employees, you know, that need just salaries paid, and you're sitting there essentially just draining all my resources, and I'm waiting 6 months and I still don't have a signed contract. I'm not even on your vendor, you know, I'm not through the procurement process where I'm a selected vendor yet, or, you know, an invoice hasn't been paid. There's a whole long list of different ways in which a startup can be killed. And just if you're like, and anyone listening to this, if you're sitting in a corporate in South Africa and there's a small business pitching to you, just remember that every day that it takes you to respond to the email, to, you know, get the vendor selection document submitted to your procurement department, to sign off on the budget line, every single day that you do that, you're literally putting that small business potentially out of business. Because that's the world that we operate in, and it's challenging. So it's an interesting space to navigate.
Jason and Adrian, thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for your time, Linda.